this is Stephanie Rubel from the Stanford Alumni Association. I'd like to welcome our listeners to our fourth book of the 2014-2015 book salon season, The Death of Artemio Cruz by Carlos Fuentes. This month, I'm sitting down with our host, Professor Zephyr Frank. Professor Frank is an associate professor of Latin American history and the director of Stanford's Center for Spatial and Textual Analysis and Spatial History Project, a place for students, staff, and scholars to collaborate in a creative way to further research in the humanities. His favorite activities include traveling in and exploring Latin America, reading fiction, particularly classics from the literatures of the region, and finding time to play with his two children. Thanks so much for joining us today, Zephyr.
It's my pleasure.
So let's dive into our questions. Can you talk to us about why you chose this book?
Certainly. I chose this book because it has a great deal of meaning to me personally. It was the first really great work of modern Latin American literature that I read as a student. And I subsequently went on to use it in courses here at Stanford, and I've assigned it over the years. And each time that I go back to teaching it, I feel like I learn something new and gain new perspective on Mexican history and literature. So it's just an inexhaustible source of interest.
Wonderful. Let's see. So what issues do you think our readers will be able to single out and find interesting to discuss about the book?
I think there are many issues that readers will single out for discussion, and I'll just highlight three areas that I think are of particular interest. One will be historical. The book attempts to rewrite the history of Mexico through the perspective of Artemio Cruz and his world. So he's born before the Mexican Revolution. He participates in the Mexican Revolution during its violent phase in the 1910s, and then he goes on to become very successful and powerful in the aftermath of the revolution, and ultimately becomes a very corrupt and sad figure in many ways, representing the betrayal of the promise of the revolution. So there's a historical narrative embedded in the book that I think readers will connect to and find very interesting. The second area that I think readers will engage with is the experimentation in the temporal dimension as the book tracks back and forth across time and fragments time in such a way to highlight the way history and human experience are often fragmented and don't necessarily add up to one coherent narrative, but there are actually multiple stories that exist at the same time. And then the third area that I think readers will find intriguing is the experimentation with language itself. And this is a modernist novel from the early 1960s. It was very important as part of that initial boom in interest in Latin American literature that we associate with Carlos Fuentes, with Gabriel Garcia Marquez, Vargas Llosa, and other writers of that era. He experiments with stream of consciousness, with different perspectives, often changing the voice. So from third person to second person to first person narration, which is another way of fragmenting the consciousness of the narrator and the consciousness of the human being being described in the novel. Again, this reasserts the sense of fragmentation and complexity that's also being created by moving back and forth in time. So we're moving back and forth in time, and we're also shifting across different dimensions of human consciousness. So it's formally a challenging and very experimental novel.
Sounds like there's a lot of different topics for us to touch on throughout the discussion. I'm sure we're going to dive into a really deep intellectual conversation. For our last question, will you talk to us about what your favorite part of the book is and why it's your favorite?
There are many parts of this book that I find intriguing, and it's hard to choose just one as a favorite. But there is one scene that I think really encapsulates Mexican history, the revolution, and the consciousness of Artemio Cruz just very well. And that's a scene where he's survived the revolution he's done so through various tricks and betrayals. He's a survivor. And in that process of surviving the revolution, he gets to know the son of a very wealthy landowner. The son of the landowner gets killed, is sentenced to death, and Artemio Cruz is able to avoid that fate. And in essence, he goes back to this rural estate and horns in on the family, taking advantage of the fact that he knew the son under those very trying and difficult circumstances. And so the scene portrays his appraisal of the estate. He's looking at the man, he's looking at the building, he's looking at the space that he hopes to occupy, having survived and having gained some power through the revolution. And in that process, as he's evaluating this estate and thinking about occupying a position of power and authority in Mexico after the revolution, he's also considering not only the house and the land, but the landowner's daughter, Catalina, as part of the bargain. And as readers will discover, Artemio Cruz often gets what he wants, but it doesn't turn out to be what he thinks it is. And so that's a great scene that really brings together the themes of history and consciousness and in a way that's quite moving and also I think will challenge readers to think about Mexican history in a new light.
Great. It sounds fascinating, and I can't wait to dive into it with our readers. Thanks thanks again for introducing us to The Death of Artemio Cruz.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.